Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome to Fly on the Wall Finance. I am your co-host, Tony Shore. I'm here with our host, the one, the only, Jamie Malm. Jamie, how are you doing today?
I am so good. It's great to be here.
Yeah. I'm so good it hurts.
Yep.
As I like to say, you know what I like to say. If I was any better, my name would be Jamie Malm. That's how good, that's how good I'm doing today.
I love it. Are you ready for today's topic? We're going to talk a little real estate.
No, I'm not at all ready, Jamie.
All right.
What are you talking
about?
We're
going to do it anyway. We're going to do it anyway.
Actually, I am ready. I love this topic. I always have lots of questions. This isn't something we've talked about really before on the show. So yeah. I'm excited. Real estate in your financial plan. How does this work?
So real estate, I think, is one of the most talked about opportunities for how you build wealth, and for good reason. You can't open any social media right now and not see these young couples living extravagant lifestyles. And why? Because of real estate. So there's obviously this passive income kind of lifestyle, right, that really appeals to a lot of people. But today I want to talk about where it fits into your overall financial plan. Mm-hmm. What are the risks? What are the rewards? How do you make sure that you don't get out of your skis a little bit? So we're going to talk about all of that today, plus the rise of short-term rentals like Airbnb, which I know a lot of people are curious about.
Well, yeah, and that's true. And there are different rules surrounding that. And a lot of people think, hey, this is going to be a great investment. We can rent out our house. But you want to make sure you're looking at all the different aspects of that and the costs, right? There's risks, there's rewards. Sure. I think that's smart. So the big picture is obviously it can increase tax flow. There's tax benefits, right? So there's a lot there.
There's a lot of reasons for incorporating real estate. And then there are some reasons not to, of course. So we want to dive into both. Reason number one, I think, that really draws people to this is owning something tangible. It's such a diversification away from the stock market and the things that we hope are going to be there, but it doesn't feel sometimes like I can touch and see and feel this investment. That's different with real estate. It's different with land. And this is something that is really close to my heart because years ago, before we knew what we were doing or had probably any business buying real estate, my husband and I decided, well, let's buy some rentals. And we had no clue what we were getting into. I mean, absolutely just no direction, no guidance, but we dove into it and learned a lot of mistakes along the way. We took a step back, sold off all of our rentals for a couple of years, regrouped, got educated, decided, okay, let's try this again. And that was probably 15 years ago. We bought our first rental again. This is round two, and we own over 100 properties today. So this is something that I have firsthand knowledge of. And the diversification, obviously a big draw. The cash flow, I think, especially with Airbnbs, this is what the draw is for people. Hey, let me buy this Airbnb. I do the math and I see, gosh, that's a phenomenal amount. That's a big number that I could plan on. And then, of course, just the long-term appreciation of having real estate or land. And then you mentioned tax benefits, which are always a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some tax benefits. But I think the biggest out of all of those, even more than cash flow, is the appreciation of the property. In other words, the actual investment. I mean, I think that's what draws me to possibly, that's when I've considered owning, like, oh, should we buy this property or own this property outside of our own home? Is you see the price of your own house, man, when we bought this, or had we bought that piece of land, look at what it's worth now. I mean, it's a lot of real estate, especially housing, has it's gone up exponentially over the last 20 years, 30 years. If you look at what a house sold for 25 years ago and what it's worth today, it's unbelievable, right?
Yeah. And then we do the math and think, well, if I own a rental, somebody else is paying that mortgage, then they're paying off that loan and I'm getting all the appreciation. It's a great long-term plan for the right person. And capital appreciation, that would be a diversification for that long-term growth, right? So there's really two things that we look at. There's the short-term cash flow, which is sometimes the immediate draw, but we'll talk about maybe some of the
risks. It might be an illusion. Yeah.
Believe me, there have been several times over the last 15 years where I've thought, okay, just remember that this is a long-term plan. This is a long-term plan. Once we get these paid off, well, now you've got multi-millions that you own in real estate, but it's a pretty illiquid asset, obviously. So
yes,
we want to break down what are the pros and cons. Appreciation is obviously one, but then we also have to think, well, what's your intent with real estate? So let's talk long-term rentals first. That's the more traditional.
Yeah. Long-term rentals.
Yep. So long-term rentals, we've got the monthly cash flow, but we also have all of the headaches and the things that come with being a landlord. We've got the long-term appreciation. We get maybe the leverage with bank financing, right? So it's not like we have to come out of pocket. We've got to, usually with a rental, you have to pay 20% down. The other thing with rentals that can sometimes surprise people is you don't get the low-ish mortgage rates that you get for your own home or on like a 30-year fixed rate. Rentals are different. It's going to be a higher rate. It's usually an adjustable rate, and you've got to have more money to put down. So we really want to make sure that we've got the nest egg, so to speak, the liquid assets to go tie it up in real estate. And then we have to think about, well, what are some of the cons to owning that real estate? Obviously, the thing that everybody talks about is, do you want to be taking phone calls from people on Thanksgiving and at 10 o'clock at night that their water heater broke or their pipes froze or, you know, their air conditioning went out? And all those things are true. They are going to happen. Tenants can be unpredictable. They cannot pay. You can have vacancies. I mean, those are all things that we have to consider.
Yeah. And I'm sure you and Brad, because you own some properties, rental properties yourselves, you've dealt with this. You've seen how this can happen. And I never wanted to be a landlord, but my father inherited the farm that I grew up on, that he grew up on, and that my grandpa grew up on. When my grandpa passed, there are two houses on it.
Yeah.
And he rented out those houses. Yeah. Well, now he doesn't have the cognitive ability or the ability to do anything with that or make decisions. So now the renters call me and I get a call at noon on a work day, and I'm clear. I'm 3.5 hours away. Yeah. Our AC isn't working, and it's a 90-degree day.
Right.
I'm like, wow, what do I do? And I've never had to deal with that before. And I'm not getting any income from it.
Yeah.
I mean, the hope is, someday I might inherit it, but I don't know how much will be left, how much the state will take, if we'll have to sell, if I'll keep it as rental property. But I don't know if I like this landlord stuff. I've been getting a lot of calls from the renters, and then I've had to bug them about paying for things too.
Well, that's one of the drawbacks is, and it's actually why we got away from owning the rentals that we did round one. It was just us. I think that Brad did end up somewhere on Christmas Eve, had to leave family dinner and go take care of something.
Sure.
We learned pretty quickly who we do and don't want to rent to. You know, we had a college house that ended up being a lot of repairs, a lot of damages, a lot of tracking down. We may or may not have owned at one point the party house at K-State, much to our dismay. So you've got to think about, do I have the time? Do I have the energy? Do I have the desire to be involved with tenants? And it doesn't mean that you can't still be a landlord. When we decided then to sell off the first round of rentals and we got back into it round two, we knew, hey, we've got two full-time jobs. We're business owners in other areas. If we're going to do this, we can't be the go-to person. We hired a property manager. Yeah. We had then that property manager that was eating into our profits a little bit. And so we weren't seeing the cash flow that we wanted. Sure. And it was pretty painful for a few years. You know, we had to really keep our eyes on the prize to remember these real tangible properties are appreciating in value. Somebody else is paying it down. It's not generating any cash flow for us in the short term, because on paper, it looks like, well, yeah, that's going to be awesome. But what you don't think about is all the repairs, all the maintenance, property taxes increase, insurance increases. You have insurance claims you've got to come out of pocket with for deductibles.
Yeah, and anytime anything breaks or goes wrong, like the furnace or something, or the roof or a door needs replaced. It's anytime you have somebody to come out and fix something, it's hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
So that's a good segue into how we transitioned then from paying a property manager. We eventually got to the point where it made more sense to hire our own maintenance person. And that was much more profitable for us, but you have to have enough rentals for that to make sense. Right. So when you're starting out, just know it's probably going to be you. You know, you're going to be the one that's having to take the calls. As you grow a little bit more, property managers usually take around 10% or so. Well worth it, in my opinion, especially if your goal is that long-term appreciation and you can work the numbers and build that 10% into your cash flow. And then as you get bigger, now maybe you employ your own person. You don't have to call that emergency plumber at midnight. You're not paying somebody constantly to go to fix every little thing. That works great. Or if you are going to do this full time, let's say this is going to be your job and you have the skill set to do it yourself, then that's a totally different ballgame, right? Now you're able to handle a lot of those things yourself, which leads us into maybe who Airbnbs are best for.
Ah, okay. Airbnb or short-term rentals.
Yeah. And we're all probably all familiar with it, right? There's VRBO, Airbnb. I'm sure there's others that I just don't use or I'm not familiar with. But the draw for both renting it and being the landlord is obvious to most. If I am going to go somewhere, do I want to cram my whole family into three hotel rooms, not have a kitchen, have to pay for all my meals, or do I want to find a house that I can rent? And it'd probably be about the same price. I get more for my money. As a landlord, I mean, the dollar signs are in my eyes, right? I'm thinking, well, I buy this property and I can rent it for $1,500 a week and look at what that is per month. So it is more cash flow, or can be on paper, than what you would get from a long-term rental. What we have to remember with Airbnbs is you're not going to have that rented all the time, usually. Now, if you are in a hot, hot, hot vacation spot and we're going to have this rented every week of the year, no problem. But most spots, most are going to be seasonal, right? And we're going to have to plan for those times when it's not rented. Plus, it's much higher turnover. It's much more intensive to communicate with people that are coming in, to manage the property, to clean that every few days. The turnover and the communication required for that, much more intense than a long-term rental.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you have to have a person really that runs it. I mean, you know, if you have a spouse maybe that doesn't have a job, if you, it, whether it's the husband or the wife, maybe they only work part-time and then they do this, because I think it's like, it's just a step away from running a hotel, right? It right. takes full time. You have to clean it every few days. You have to communicate with people. You have to manage it more on a daily basis than you would a long-term rental, right? I mean,
yep. And sometimes the draw is, hey, we want this spot for our own vacation home.
Right.
So what if we invest in it? We're going to be here a certain number of weeks of the year. And when we're not here, we'll rent it out. All those things can work. You just need somebody to help you crunch the numbers and be realistic with what am I going to have to pay for this turnover, this management, the cleanings, the maintenance, the vacancies. Like all those things have to be factored in before you make a decision on whether it's right for you.
Right. And then, you know, you get the people who say, I can do all that myself. I'm handy. Well, that's yeah. great. But can you and will you? I mean, it's saying it, you know, oh, I can make it work. Yeah, a lot of people are optimistic when they see have a dream. You know, they kind of look past some of the cons. So I think with real estate, like you gave a great example. You guys got into it and then you just said, hey, this is too much. You got out of it, right?
Yeah. We had little kids and full-time jobs and just thought, you know what? I just don't think that we can handle this right now. It wasn't that we didn't have interest, and it wasn't even that real estate wasn't the right fit for us. We didn't have the right setup at that time. Right. We didn't have the right support. We didn't have the right mindset. So took a step back and got back into it. Now, flipping houses is a totally different ballgame. That is something that personally,
yes.
Brad and I have not done. We considered it. And, you know, you watch the makeover shows and all the flippers and you think, oh, my gosh, they bought it for $80,000 and sold it for, you know, $500,000 or whatever the flip is. And it can be a big draw.
Yeah, it can. And you and I have a mutual friend, or Bill Altman and his wife, who's in real estate. They flipped houses for a long time and did quite well with it. And I know I have other friends that have done that. I'm sure you know people as well, Jamie, that flip houses. And a lot of them do quite well. Some of them don't. You have to be a handy person. Like they did most of the work themselves when they flipped a house. They'd go in and rip up the flooring and repaint. And I just don't have that in me. I don't like doing that stuff.
Yeah, so. I can paint and then I'm out. So I am not very helpful in that area.
Yeah.
And I think flipping houses is more of a business than, hey, this is something that I'm going to do as an investment on the side. Not that you can't, but it's so hands-on. It's typically your people that have experience in construction or they already have experience in real estate. They've got the know-how to do the bulk of it themselves. Because if you have to hire that out, that's going to eat into your profits so quickly. It's probably not worth the flip at all. So pros would be you've got a high upside. Quick, right? 6 to 12 months. So a short time horizon, I could go generate X amount of dollars. But I have to probably be able to do it myself. It's probably not a side hustle type thing that I'm doing as an investment. It's probably more of a business venture. And then I have to think about, we've all seen it on the shows, right? I tear out the wall or rip open the floors and there's mold everywhere, or, you know, there's some kind of huge expense that I wasn't expecting.
Right.
Margins can be really thin. And so if you're considering flipping a house, my biggest advice would be make sure you have a plan B. Like, we know what to expect if all goes well, but if it doesn't, and if there are surprises, does that completely derail this, or are we able to still move it forward some way and be profitable?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the tax, you can make a lot of money on a flip, but it's all fully taxable, right?
Yeah. Different than like what we talk about with rentals, where maybe we can sell one property, transfer it to another one. That's called a 1031 exchange. And there are some rules around that, you know, we would want to get into more detail on, but from a flip, that's just profits, right?
Yeah.
So now I have a big influx of money that could bump me into the next tax bracket. And I get all the same, you know, deductions and things like that, that I would for rentals. It's just, you have such a short time horizon for a big amount of money. There's not a, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do to get away from that.
To minimize that tax burden. Right. Yeah. Well, where I've seen this work is where one spouse is a realtor and the other person is a handyman.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect combination.
It is perfect. Yeah. If like Bill's wife is one of the top realtors in their market, so that really helps them. And I've seen where the guy is a realtor and kind of a handyman, and his wife is really good with construction and handy, so they had success with it, some friends of ours. But it, just the average person who doesn't do one of those two things, that's might not be the best idea.
Yeah, you just want to make sure you're not biting off more than you can chew. And there can be smaller flips, right? Maybe it's not a total flip where it's a major undertaking, but I buy something, I improve it a little bit, I get a little bit, right? Where it's not, just make sure you're not undertaking that something that like, I can't do this. If we're talking cosmetic things and you can clean up the yard and you can put some paint on it and you can replace flooring, and you know, there's a lot of really low cost homes that you could do that with, which is more what we see done for rentals. Because when you actually project the cash flow, then you think, gosh, I could make a lot more money if I rent it. But if you're like, I absolutely do not want to be a landlord, I'm not ready for that now, but I see where I could make a little money on this, then I don't want to discourage you. I just want to, everybody to have realistic expectations and not be surprised by things that you don't know, right? That's never a good feeling to get into something, invest your money, and then think, oh gosh, I wish I would have known this before I got started.
Yeah, there you go. So what about the real estate in the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think most people consider this as an addition to their investments, which is the right way to think about it. We don't want to think about real estate as a replacement for other items. Typically, that would not be the path that most would go, right? Unless it is just purely your business and that's what you do and you're not worried about the diversification. But most people are going to be working for an employer. You've got a 401k, maybe you have a Roth IRA, but you're thinking, is there something else I could be doing? Or I've got this bonus money that I get every year for my employer. I'd love to be able to diversify. Maybe real estate is of interest. That's the time where you want to think about, can this be a complement to what I'm already doing? Does it diversify my portfolio the way I'm wanting to? Do I already have a strong foundation with my retirement savings, with insurance, with an emergency fund? Am I able to have access to money if I need it? So some liquidity in my investments outside of this property. Those would be the things that you would want to consider when trying to decide, is diversifying to real estate really the fit for me?
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So what you're saying is I shouldn't take all my money out of my retirement funds, my 401k and IRA, and just put it all into property or rental property.
I probably would not recommend that for anybody. No. You know, all eggs in one basket, maybe not the right idea for most. But if you are wanting to get started, think about, you know, one or two properties might be plenty for a while, whether that's a long-term rental, whether it's an Airbnb, maybe it's just a, you know, the house up the road that you thought always that's in a great area. It just needs a little cosmetic help and you want to try to flip it. Start on a scale that feels manageable, that feels like I can control that. That feels like if something goes wrong or doesn't end up the way I think, it's not going to totally derail the rest of my financial plan. And then you can start scaling from there. If you're getting to the point where maybe you've got more than three units or you're in multiple towns, I would then start thinking about forming an LLC. I would then start thinking about hiring a property manager, maybe some more sophisticated planning on where this cash flow, long-term appreciation, tax planning is going to come into play for you.
Sure. Makes sense. You know, make sure you start at a manageable scale, right? Start small, work your way up. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Maybe talk to somebody who's done this or does it currently. That's a good idea. So, and it's not just more properties, it's having systems in place and building a business the way it sounds.
Yeah, it's having a plan, especially if we're going to do rentals, whether that's long-term or Airbnbs, you can burn out on that quickly, right? It can get frustrating really quickly. So having the right structure, knowing where it fits into the overall plan, having the tools, the strategy, having somebody that can help you budget for that and know what to expect. And not just for 1 year, but what is it going to look like if our property taxes increase? What is it going to look like if insurance gets more expensive? What is it going to look like if we have vacancies that we weren't expecting that are longer than what we expected it for? You need somebody that's going to help you plan all of that out.
Sure. Well, and I think this has been an eye-opening look at real estate, at long-term rentals, Airbnb, short-term rentals, flips. It's exciting, but it can be overwhelming, Jamie.
For sure. I think anything that's worth doing, right? It's going to be a little scary. We're going to be a little intimidated. That probably means you're on the right track if you're feeling that way. But it absolutely can be a smart decision in an overall financial plan. The key is to look at why you're investing in it, right? How much time you're really willing to take on and where it fits in your overall goals. And if you can answer those three questions, then you're on the right path.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're thinking about this, I think the next best step is to contact you, Jamie. I know you can help our listeners and viewers out there crunch the numbers, look at all the tax implications, and make sure it fits that overall financial plan, right?
Right. And we want to look at what's the right structure. Are you somebody that already owns rentals and maybe we're looking at a different corporation setup or tax deduction? Are you somebody that's wanting to buy your first rental? Are you somebody that is thinking about transitioning from working in your 9-to-5 job and this is going to be business? Different paths for all of those situations. So can definitely be a strong wealth building tool. We can give you some direction. We'll connect you with the appropriate people to help with the tax implications, the legality of it. You want to protect yourself, obviously, before you start working with tenants and having people in your property. So all things that we can help you connect with the appropriate people to hit your goals. You can call our office, which is 620-377-6456. You can also go out to our website. There's a big contact us button out there. You can drop us an email, a message, and we can get back to you that way also.
All right. Well, that sounds great, Jamie. And that's it for this week's Fly on the Wall Finance. But make sure you follow us, share this episode, give an honest 5-star review. We always appreciate that. And whether you're dreaming about owning your first rental property or your 10th Airbnb, just remember, as Jamie said, strategy first, property second, right? Have a plan. And great show, Jamie.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.